Diet Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is May 31st, 2018. Most of us don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I pray for you, with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. And an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, you can always find updates of the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church, radio programs, contact information, all at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. Now, folks, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. It's on YouTube live and on some FM stations, so pray about supporting airtime, please. Now, on our note, let's thank our listener base in places like Stockholm, Sweden, Sofia, Bulgaria, Prague, the Czech Republic, Budapest, Hungary, Juarez, Mexico, in cities in the good old United States such as
Chandler, Arizona, New Orleans, Louisiana, Tampa, Florida, Lexington, Kentucky, Santa Ana, California, as well as Wichita, Kansas, which still remains large group of listeners to our radio program when they podcast later tonight. And you didn't trust me with the first one, huh?
Well, I just gave you some American ones to pronounce. And you could when we do radio, you know, you're supposed to act a little more enthusiastic, not like you're a first-time reader, you know, like Lexington, Kentucky, Santa Ana, California, Chandler, Arizona. You know, you're supposed to be entertaining to the folks. Okay, never mind. Anyway, follow us and share us on Twitter at Pastor Dan Catlin at Brent77. And I wonder how many of you fellows out there, your wives are like mine. Anyway, now prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, we pray. Father, I pray that radio goes according to your will and not our will, Father. Please give us the things to tell the people and give everyone ears in which to hear and understand the truth. In your son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, amen and amen. Well, welcome, Mom. Linda.
I know it's Mom, but you're not calling me Mom.
I know, Linda. Now, Linda, say hello to the folks.
Hello, people. Hello, people.
Well, that was a little better, but a little over-enthusiastic. Well, I got a breaking for you. Remember we talked about Show Dogs, the movie last time, right?
Yeah.
Well, they said they would change some things. Remember, I was saying it was going to be a praise report for Americans speaking up. Like most leftists, though, they have a double standard. The company, following a firestone of criticism about scenes, had promised to recut and re-release the movie. Now, NCOSE is screened it, and they immediately watched it on its second release. Here's what happened. To their dismay, we strongly advise the parents and caregivers not to take children to this film, Hawkins said. She said the public took, in good faith, Global Road Entertainment's move to recut Show Dogs to make it appropriate for children. However, genital touching of the lead dog character remains a pivotal aspect of the film's narrative. Apparently, having the film back in theaters in time for Memorial Holiday box office that was more important than protecting children, she said, even after undergoing a so-called recut in scenes, which the dog must have his private parts touch, remain. In the course of the general touching, the dog is uncomfortable, and wants it to stop, but is to go to a happy place. Because submitting to general touching is an essential element of winning the dog show. Hawkins continued, later in a climactic moment at the dog show, the dog submits to genital touching and is rewarded with advancing to the final round of the competition. This team, and while this is going on, the achievement is celebrated to the tune of sexy and I know it. No thoughts?
It's terrible.
But you see the double standard, even though it was pointed out to them, this is exactly, if you do, folks do a little research on grooming, but this is exactly, this could have been, instead of a dog, this would have been what a pedophile would be saying to a child, that it's okay to have your private parts touching and go to a comfortable place. Don't think about it. But afterwards, if you do it, wow, you'll get something for it.
You can go get some ice cream, or you can get some candy.
Yeah, didn't your mama ever tell you never take candy from a stranger when you was a child?
Right.
That's part of the reason why.
Well, that's not even the worst of it. The kids that do watch it, we're going to think it's okay to go play with their animals.
Well, they'll go play with their, they'll play with their animals, but, you know, how many children have played a game of, I'm the dog, or I'm a cat,
and
take up the role of that. But this is, so if an adult comes along, and see, that's how powerful movies are, movies and media, and, you know, the ungodly know that, and that's who owns most of those medias. Just recently, we've had some companies come out with some good Christian movies, but the point is that this is their standard. That was taken right out of a pedophile's playbook. And if it wasn't, then the company would have did something about it. But that's where their head's at. Just like they're trying to force, the craziness, especially in California, where usually it all starts either in California or New York, it really does, when things come to the United States, and the country ends up catching up with them. Well, you know, they put out all this garbage, and then, it just moves on. They think it's normal. Ask people, you ask people what's normal, they usually mimic what they see on TV. You know, you can, it was just like Cody. I'll use that as an example. Cody was one of my son's friends, and I asked Cody, I said, do you think that homosexuality is normal? And he said, yeah. He said, it's in everything. It's in all the movies and all the TV and everything. It's normal. I said, well, what? I asked him what normal was. And he said, well, you know, he came to agreement it has to be over 51%. Well, it's actually a little more, that can be a little less than that. But the point is only 7% in the whole United States identify as LGBTQ or whatever that is, you know, gay, homosexual, lesbian, transgender. Only 7%. So is 7% normal?
It's not normal anyway. It's abomination. Read your Bible.
Right, but we're talking about the world, and it is an abomination, absolutely. Now, let's go on. Here's another one from the wonderful, great state of California, which I hate to say, folks, I was born there, but thank goodness my mom and dad brought me back here when I was about 3 years old to the great state of Kansas. Anyway, this is a bill. AB 2943 violates my right to choose. Homosexuals are outraged over a California bill that could ban the Bible. Now, I've talked with us about this before. And it is really a bill, and so I'll read it. A group of former homosexuals and ministry leaders rallied on the steps of a California courthouse Tuesday to protest a bill that threatens to ban Christian books and resources which address issues of homosexuality and gender identity. If passed, AB 2943 will criminalize sexual orientation change efforts. by making it illegal to distribute resources, sell books, offer counseling service, or direct someone to a biblically based model for getting help with their gender confusion and homosexuality. In contrast, the bill supports counseling that offers encouragement towards exploration and development of same-sex attractions. Now, let me finish. The bill's supporters believe the bill will protect the LGBT community, but former homosexual and Pulse nightclub shooting survivor Lewis Rich said he needed the church the most during the lowest point of his life. The Pulse nightclub shooting was a very tragic event, and I lost many friends, he said. The church came in and prayed with me. They came in, showed me scriptures through the Word of God. I was not only able to be free of the lifestyle, but be free of me in general from every type of sin, and I don't feel that someone should dictate and tell me that I can't go seek help for any of that. I think we should vote no, he told the crowd during Tuesday's rally. Now Roots says he's no longer gay, praise the Father, and points everyone, homosexual or not, to Jesus or Yeshua. A lot of us standing here today can speak of the freedom of Jesus and the love we have towards him, and that will set you free completely, he shared. Pro golfer Chris Olsen criticized the bill for making it illegal for former homosexuals like her to freely seek counseling. AB 2943 violates my right to choose, she said. It's a blatant violation of my First Amendment rights, and I believe there's a reason why our founding fathers chose to put these rights in the very First Amendment. Olsen struggled with same-sex attractions as a Christian, but sought help from the very services that AB 2943 seeks to ban. I fell into the world of homosexuality. Eventually, I found help with a faith-based group of people like me who wanted their feelings to come into alignment with their faith. It was the beginning of the freedom that I stand before you today, Olsen explained. I am now free from my former feelings of same-sex attraction and lesbian behavior that warred in my soul. The rally was organized by the Church United and Catholic Diocese of Orange County. Jen Doman, who pastors the Church United, is a former homosexual also, who believes AB 2943 discriminates against people like him. AB 2943 was approved on the California floor last month. The bill now goes to their state senate for a vote. Technically, now let me give you a small explanation. That says it bans any reading material that would tell you that a homosexual lifestyle is wrong or bad. Now, what is the main book that points to that being bad?
The Bible.
The Bible. So while they are trying to say that, oh, this isn't going to ban the Bible, if they go according to their law, it will absolutely not only ban the Bible, but any kind of speech. If a pastor says you need help or tries to, it's a long path to criminalizing anything that's godly. And the ungodly, if they hear you talking like this, they'll say, oh, that's hate speech.
No, please.
It's not hate speech to have the First Amendment. You know, the First Amendment to the Constitution is the right to free speech, and that's what makes America great. While conservatives are for free speech, the other side isn't. The only time they're for free speech
is when they're saying it.
Now, it's just like, Roseanne.
Oh, boy.
Okay, now don't go.
Oh, boy.
Okay,
sure you want to touch on this?
Okay, well, you just kind of keep yourself in check. But Roseanne is a perfectly good example. While I totally agree that Roseanne, that's not something you should have said on the air. I get it. You said it was a joke. You're a sarcastic joke person. You did it after you had a glass of wine and some Ambien, which is really no excuse or whatever. But here's the point. While that was bad, absolutely, and a lot of people don't know Valerie Jarrett is black, and she's an Iranian woman. Her parents, on her parents' side, there's people over there that are black. So it was a slam against black people, which Roseanne said that she didn't know that she had any black blood in her. She thought she was white. But here's the point. So while it was bad, absolutely, you know, we should not even hint about racism with a person. But here's the point. Over and over on the left, even after that, we have comedians and news commentators have made comparisons. And there's a picture floating out, you know, that one of the guys on HBO, you know, one of the major comedians, I just can't think of his name right now, he absolutely compared Donald Trump to an orangutan, said that's what he looked like. And they're consistently talking about the left is saying that white people, all white people should die, you know, and that anybody that voted for Trump is a racism. And there's tons and tons and tons and tons of hate speech on TV. And Ivanka Trump, you know, Trump's daughter was just slammed by a talk host, you know, like last night or the night before, whatever. But it's with them all, that's perfectly fine as long as they're doing it.
Exactly. That's what I've been saying.
Yeah, absolutely. As long as they're doing it. And that's the
way. They called Trump way, way, way much worse than that. They called him white supremacist and all kinds of stuff. That's just the same thing.
In the same state of California, Google, now we're coming up on elections, right? You know, midterm elections in 2018 in a lot of states. I'm not sure when California's next primary is, sometime soon. But they are saying if you Google California Republicans, you know, they bring up a profile, and Google says that any Republicans are Nazis.
Oh, really?
Yeah, really. That's absolute. And so that's tolerable. So here's the point, people. Here's the point. We need to, as Christians, what do we need to do? We just sit around silent?
No, we the people, we need to stand up and fight back. Fight for what's right.
Right. In other words, use your
stand
voice.
Stand up for our
right. Right, and that goes in. While a lot of people, well, I'm not a talker or whatever, but listen, you use Twitter, people use Twitter, they use Facebook, they use social media. That's where everybody's at right now.
And look, Roseanne Barr is a comedian. Even though she might have been under Ambien or wine or whatever, she has a comedian brain. She's going to come up with all kinds of funny stuff. So what? She said that. She said it, and then she apologized for it and said that she was sorry she said it. Where's all the apologies for all this crud that's going down against our president of the United States and the First Family? Who's standing up for that? Who's talking against that? Nobody.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Anyway, yeah, and somebody just tweeted to me, I won't give up their name, it says, you know, the government, it's like, now this is probably a sarcastic remark. He's saying that, well, the government teaches in schools that were supposedly come from monkeys and apes, so.
And here's another one. So, they take Roseanne Barr off the air because she said something, and they leave Cosby on the air, and he rapes women? Really?
Well, he's black.
It doesn't matter. Everybody's supposed to be treated equal. It's America.
Let's go a little step further. The Bible says that we are not to be a respecter of persons. It even points out the poor should be treated with the same standard as the rich, and the rich is the same standard as the poor. Everybody is supposed to be treated by the same standard. That's the Bible. So, folks, if you're biblical, we're supposed to be treating each other equally. I'm not saying it's bad to pick on anybody, but you know what? Comedians go back and they should watch some of Don Rickles' stuff, which you'll find yourself falling in the floor. But the point is the point. That's what comedians do. The era that we've moved into, I don't agree with any of it in the sense that, you know, the height of vulgarity is just crazy. You know, whereas people used to accidentally say F, you know, the F word. Now you can use it in public meetings and speech, but you usually hear that coming from the left. You don't hear a lot of conservatives when they get mad going off and using all that speech. Why? Because the Bible tells us that we're not supposed to swear by anything. Not by anything. We are not supposed to cuss. We are supposed to have good speech. And yeah, we all probably slip up sometimes, you know, and do it, but the point is we don't make it a practice, and if we do slip up and say something wrong, you say, I'm sorry, repent of it, truly mean it. But
like Roseanne did.
Yeah, but look at the left side of the coin. You know, it's just all so vulgar. You know, everything is took to so much vulgarity. And where is that trash coming from? It's coming from the media. The ungodly, and we may go into schools in a little bit, but the ungodly are being brainwashed by the media. And that is my point. It's just like the dog movie. That's going to brainwash mm-hmm. little children that see that and to believe it. Or by stars like Miley Cyrus, you know. Little girls remember her from her movie shows that when she was a little girl, her series. So they go to her concerts and she allows other people from the audience to touch her vagina and all kinds of things, takes her clothes off, so on and so forth. But yet mothers and fathers keep taking the children to do that. So that's telling the children that it's all right. So, you know, it's not all right to go around with your clothes off, you know. So anyway, well, folks, listen, we're getting ready to go to a break, so check us out at prophecyhour.com. You can find a link to everything over there, whether it's making a donation or going to the WichitaHomeless.com website, which is the Mission Church website. But you do those things, folks, and we'll be back in how many minutes, Mom?
3 minutes.
3 minutes, you don't even know.
2 minutes.
3 minutes. We'll be right back. Yep. We'll be right back.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
Folks, we're back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, we've got talking about a lot of things. I'm here with my lovely wife, Linda, as she wants to be called Mom. We made a couple comments about Valerie Jarrett and the whole situation with Roseanne. And for the record, I seems like I got my own personal fact checker sometimes that's hiding back out here in my chat. You guys can guess who that might be. But anyway, I was sent a picture of him, and so her mother is white, but her dad, I'm sure, identifies as black, and the picture I'm looking at, he looks black. Point matters, it really doesn't matter. It was a racist comment. It's a racist thing to compare people to baboons and things. While technically, you know, I'm not going to defend that. She apologized. She believed the comment was wrong. I believe the comment was wrong. Point being is, we're not dealing with a even standard like we were talking about before the program, you know.
Right, and the schools even tease our children that we came from apes and we're all apes. So what the heck is...
Yeah, and that is a point, you know. But reality, that isn't true. And, you know, here's the big deal. If you go to a school and it teaches you that we came from apes, here is the major problem with that. In order to believe that, then you have to believe that the Bible in Genesis starts out as being an unfactual document because, you know, it says God created man and woman. You know, he created man from the dust of the earth and the woman off of his rib. to say that we evolved from apes, that makes that a lie.
Hmm. I don't believe the Bible.
Well, of course we would, but here's the point. If that gives them grounding for atheists and others to say, well, the Bible's just a good thing of you know, not prophecy, but it's like a, you know, a poem book. It's good suggestions or whatever, that it's not really fact-based, because after all, it lied in Genesis saying that God created us, but he didn't create us from the dust and from man's rib. He created it. Apes were here, which came, I think, at one point as a cell that crawled out of the water or some kind of story. I don't know. But the point is that it dismisses the whole rest of the Bible.
And as someone just pointed out, too, if we evolved, nothing evolved from a different species. So if we were apes, why aren't we still apes?
Yeah, that's the point. It's just like they have a, well, it shows apes evolving, but there's supposedly bones and everything, but there's what they call in this tree of bones they found a missing link that links one to the other. They never found skeletons of a missing link. And so it's unperiod. Evolution is a theory. It's not fact.
And he retracted that theory on his deathbed.
Yes, he did. When he saw how damaging it would be to his, he claimed on his deathbed he never meant for it to go as far as it did, and that also that not only as far as it did, but he was impacted because by that time on his deathbed he had a granddaughter, and so the story goes, a grandchild. I'm pretty sure it was a granddaughter. Haven't read the story in a long time. But had a granddaughter, and he did not want that kind of an ungodly influence on her, and so it was twisted. You know, and so, you know, it's just like, let's go along with this. Well, you know, Black Lives Matter for a minute. You know, now that is such a racist, hateful thing, you know, talking about killing off all the white people and everything. But let's go back to this. What are they doing with that? Well, first off,
that's a racist statement in itself.
Well, yeah, because all lives matter.
That's right.
Black lives matter. White lives matter. Green lives matter.
Brown lives matter. If they're purple lives, they matter.
Okay. Well, now then, let me say this about it. So you always got to look deeper into things. So Black Lives Matter looks like it's being run by a black guy and all these things, but it was started by two lesbians. And where do you suppose their money came from?
Black people?
Oh, no.
Hillary Clinton?
Hillary Clinton.
Oh, my God.
Well, this, not necessarily Hillary Clinton. Calm down. But the major source of their starting, as was in a lot of the riots, which, like in Missouri last year, but let's backtrack, is George Soros.
George Soros.
George Soros is a white dude. Now, so Black Lives Matter is being funded by an old white dude that hates God and plainly says that it's his life's goal to destroy America and believes in open borders. And he is the major funder. He's a billionaire. He is the major funder of many of these races for governors and all kinds of things. He is a political supporter of the left.
So he's untouchable, right?
Well, he first thought, they hadn't, in Hungary, the country that he came from, he had to move his organization out of Hungary because Hungary revealed him for what he was, and his organization was kicked out of Hungary.
He should be kicked out of America.
Well, he should be kicked out of the world, so to speak. Right. He is a globalist, and he wants to destroy America. And so this should be foreign influence on our elections, the same thing that they're trying to pin on Trump. But this is foreign interference with our election and funding all these things.
But he's a foreigner. Is he here legally? I wonder.
Wherever he's at, he's there legally. He's a billionaire. He is there legally. But if you go back into his history, he was a Hitler youth. And people, the left says that's just a theory. No, it's proven fact. He was a Hitler youth. and, you know, is a Nazi for all intents and purposes. He is a Nazi, or was when he was young. And so anyway, let's move on. So anyway, we've got some other thing interesting to talk about. So, you know, we're getting to the thing about breakdown in family. Family is a, I scrolled down a little bit so you couldn't read it before I got to, I don't want that my reading to influence you. Anyway, let's go with this. So the big deal that out there, I was talking about black people. Now, so my point is this, to me, there's no difference in black, white, green, or purple, you know. I treat them, everybody, the same. Here's the point. But blacks blacks and refugees and all these people that the left are supposedly for, you know, the gay movement and all that, they're using it. Number one, they don't want equal rights for any of them. They don't want blacks to go to work. Why do you think the left has not been praising the fact that blacks have such a low unemployment rate right now? And even felons are being, felons that weren't doing violent offenses are now being hired by companies under Trump because they have such a shortage of people to go to work. There's also, we talk about, Hispanics. And with Hispanics, historically the lowest unemployment rate for them. So we're talking about all these things, and the left isn't happy about it. Why do you think that they would be happy? Why aren't they happy about good things happening for them? They preach about that stuff all the time, so why aren't they happy?
They are in the boat that wants America to fail. So if everybody's working and making it, then they don't have their government programs to drain the system and make America fail.
Well, government program, and here's the point. The left believes in giving more,
right,
and giving more, because then you'll give them their votes, and as long as you're giving their votes, it don't work that way if they're empowered. If they don't need the left, then they're empowered. That means that then they make their own choices. You know, a lot of people, it's a tough choice. Well, I can get all these food stamps and all this government things if I just don't go to work. So if I don't go to work, then who am I going to vote for? The guy that's giving it to me, or the guy that's going to take it away from me? That's
right.
Their strategy, and which is the biggest lie. It's just like the KKK. KKK, the Ku Klux Klan was started by the Democrats, you know, and that's hidden. People just don't research the history. That's why they're trying to get, they try to erase history. They try to, if they erase history, the future can be anything. But if they're tagged with their history, then, you
That's
know.
Why they want to get rid of all the monuments and all the statues and all the things that keep the history there for our children. They want to get rid of it so they can build a new history of corruption.
All right, well, so that they can lie about saying what their history is and try to pin their crimes on the other side.
Right.
And so, you know, folks, if you've never watched George Orwell's movie about Big Brother, you really need to watch it. It's an old movie and it's an old book, but you should absolutely watch it. Okay, well, we got something. So anyway, but they're also, I was watched a video earlier today about a black man at a rally in California that came up, and he said he's free from the left's plantation because he discovered all these things that I just brought up to you. And one of the things is, you know, why do you think they created, when welfare was created, it was created by Democrats. Why do you think they created it in such a way that if they get welfare, even if a man comes, the man cannot be in the household. If he comes into the household, then it'll kick him off welfare. Well, now, there's been some progress made a little bit, but the point is they don't want the black man in the family. They don't want they don't want any poor man in the family, because that empowers the family to be successful and succeed. And so what does it do? It produces more children out of wedlock, and the more children out of wedlock, Well, then there's no need for a real family unit, and they figure single mothers with children, with multiple children. Well, hey, you know, in fact, when I was young, I remember friends that I knew that were couples, and they'd lie about the man being there, and they'd say, man, we're getting a raise. I said, oh, really? You're getting a raise on your welfare? How'd that happen? They said, well, because we got pregnant, you know.
Yeah, and, I remember that.
And so they use pregnancy to get a boost in their income. Okay, which brings us to this. There's a 36-year-old woman from Michigan who's made a crashing entrance into the Guinness Book of World Records yesterday at the Harper University Hospital by giving birth to her 14th child, all born from different fathers. Now, you were talking about that, Peter. What do you think about that?
The poor children.
Yeah, the poor children.
It's really disgusting.
So,
I mean, children are a blessing, but they deserve to have a mother and a father for their life.
Right.
That's the way God intended it. You get married, then you have babies. You don't have a baby with this one and then say, oh, the baby's here. I need a new baby mama, so a new baby daddy, so a new baby. So the poor child winds up with 15 different moms and dads. They don't even know who their mom and dad are.
Right. And so let's go back onto that. You know, so that's something that you... You know, I bet you that woman could go into any, just about any mainstream church in a large city, for example, and the pastor would probably never point that out to them, that they should be with that. Because, you know, here's where it goes, and here is where my problem keeps coming up to. How did we get to where we're at?
Because they took God out of everything. They took him out of the schools is what started in prayer, out of the schools. And they took, that's what started the whole chain of events. And then they tried to take God out of it. They took the Ten Commandments. They're trying to get rid of the Lord. That's what's wrong. They need to get God back in everything. And
okay. But, you know, to a nation that was a completely Christian nation, you know, you got to wonder, you know, if we were a Christian nation. And I can remember in my youth, I'll be 63 this year, I can remember in my youth that, man, you know, Christianity was the standard for the country.
All
you
right.
know, you could tell it was. And their morals and obligations, you know what I mean, the way that we dressed and everything. But, so what happened in that? How did we get so overwhelmed with all this ungodliness? You're right about the stuff, God being taken out of things.
I believe, if I remember correctly from my experience, that it happened in my sister's generation, and my dad called it a generation gap, and it was the, if it feels good, do it, and that.
Well, all of the things that you're saying are true, but there's a reason why it was able to happen. And the reason, folks, that it was able to happen, and as I pointed out on this show many times, and even I've had the fellow that got the Trump prophecies, which is now, by the way, turning into a movie. The Trump prophecies will hit the big screen. Anyway, he and I were talking, but I've been saying this ever since I got on radio, is the problem lies with the church. The pastors became silent about speaking against sin, became politically correct because they took on the 501(c),
right.
And when they shut up, this is the result of it. They can't talk politically, and so this is the result of it, because from the sheer numbers that we had before and the place that we had, the thing that had to happen is the church had to get shut up. And as soon as the church, as soon as they did that, the welfare system was created. The church, these, out of love of money, which is the root of all evil, they saw that, oh, well, we didn't no longer have to, because prior to welfare, the church was welfare, so to speak.
Right. Church took care of the people. Now the government takes care of the people.
Right. So the church decided to spend money on everything else, like Jesse the Plantist, which, you know, when I first came out of the world, I thought he was a funny, we both thought he was a funny kind of
preacher.
And now he's telling everybody, and it's all over the internet, and it's on TV, but he's now telling everybody that he wants everybody to buy him a $57 million new jet, even though that will be his fourth jet, and he still has the other three. He needs a fourth one in order to spread the gospel.
Please.
What would $57 million do for the poor?
It
would help a lot.
Help a lot of people back up on their feet.
Yeah.
So they could take care of themselves. It would shelter a lot of women that have to turn to different things to take care of themselves. It would do a lot of things for God.
Yeah.
Instead of flying around in a jet.
Amen. Well, and his fourth one. Now, you know, he could almost argue that he needed a plane, if you know, to go different places in the world. But, you know, he could fly on a regular airplane like everybody else. But here's the point. Even if he got, it'd be one thing, and I'm not condoning or being for or against it, nor would I be for or against him having a good house. But we're talking about fourth jet.
Well, I'm different than you because I'm totally against it. Them people need to give their money to the poor. They don't need to be giving it to him. He's got three jets. He can spread the word of God just fine with those three.
Yeah, amen. I totally agree. But what I meant, folks, was, you know, I wasn't going to get too loud about him if he just had one jet, you know, or one, you know, small plane. I'm not going to go into all that. But come on, we're talking about fourth jet, even a second jet, third jet. And $57 million, man, if he can raise that kind of money, he could extremely help the poor. And that's the point. This guy is doing it for the money, you know.
Love of money, root of all evil.
Yeah. His money should be going towards the poor and literally spreading the gospel. Let me tell you what, $57 million would spread the gospel a long ways. And besides that, Yeshua even fed the people that were around him, and so on and so forth. And people don't realize that, you know, it's just like the word says, that Yeshua, it's easier for a man, for a poor man to get into heaven than it is for a rich man.
Yeshua became homeless to bring the poor to salvation. He became homeless. He was a homeless man. Hello?
Yeah, absolutely. He was a guy with a trade. You know, he was a carpenter. Carpenter is not a low trade. That's an expensive trade. They make things, you know what I mean? People always needed things. They didn't have a factory that could produce them back in his day. Even if it was a chair, it had to be hand-carved and handmade. Everything was handmade. So his trade was really big. But so, you know, so we're talking about the gospel, and Yeshua even became poor. That brings us to the mission church. Say something about
it. I'm filming.
She's sitting here looking at me. She's sitting here looking at me, giving me dead air. You know, I brought you on to talk and share your opinion. Maybe I just haven't did my job and ask you.
Please pray about helping the mission. We need everything all the time. We need what you need, and they need what we need, what you need, so we can help them, so we can even feed and care for them.
Yeah, amen.
We have bills and all the stuff that takes to do it. Everything costs money, and it's not the love of money, but we need the money to do the work.
Yeah, amen. You know, it's just a $57 million, you know.
Oh, I could do so much. Oh, I could make steak dinners.
Yeah, well, hey, but we don't.
Forget flying the plane. Let's have a steak, guys.
Well, you know, because we're not, you know, we could make them steak dinners. If we were a 501c and could get into the food bank, we could buy T-bone steaks for 16 cents a pound when we got in under somebody else's
thing. Right, we've did it before. We had cookouts with bands for them and everything.
Right, and Friday, what do you call that chicken anyway?
It's a mango. I call it Hawaiian marinade, but it's a mango something marinade baked. All day. I baked it from about 1:30 till whenever Pam took it out, I think about 6 o'clock. So.
Right.
But you're going to bake some more.
Right, yeah. I prepared a couple of pans, and they're going to get shoved in the oven, and they're going to get chicken with a baked potato, and I got vegetables, corn and green beans, one of my favorite, mixed together.
Right.
And they'll get a donut with it.
You know what I love? I just as well as I love corn and green beans, I love green beans and tomatoes. And I learned that from another church we went to. I'm like, tomatoes and green beans? That looks terrible. But I taste, oh, my gosh, that is so good.
Did you get that
from try it. No, we got that from a dinner we went to at Remnant.
Remnant of Israel.
Yeah.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, green beans and tomatoes.
And
I
thought it looked terrible, but when I tasted it, boy, I've made it lots of times since then.
Yeah. I take when I make green beans by themselves nowadays, I like a little salt, kosher salt on it, and I like a lot of basil on it. I'm getting hooked on basil.
Another thing that goes good in green beans is thyme, and I learned that from a family that used to help us that moved to Oklahoma.
Hello. Ahava
and Jessica and Aaron and
your spouses, whoever
Lee-wee.
They may be. Yeah, we do miss
and
you guys.
And Justin.
I was thinking, and I know that I know Jessica listened to the program off and on. I don't know if Ahava still does.
You got beautiful kids, young lady.
Yeah, absolutely. And we do miss you, even though we don't see you much. Anyway, folks, now I'm going to try to have in a couple of programs. I'm trying to get the people. I wrote them. You know, I showed you that feast site.
Yes, I so love to go there.
We're going to try, if we get enough money, we're going to try to go to the Feast of Tabernacles, maybe in this site in Missouri. I'm checking them out. I'm going to see what their attitude
was. I'd
love
to take my four grandkids.
Well, yeah, we wanted to go to that one Feast of Tabernacles that one year, and I was all set to really get involved with it, but then there was a dress code. They wouldn't even let me wear a T-shirt. And you know what? I wear T-shirts.
No, it was no black, too, and all your clothes were black. They told
right.
me to go to the Goodwill and buy some clothes.
Well, but they were talking about my T-shirt. It wasn't. Oh. The discussion wasn't over black. It was definitely over T-shirts because I said that's all I wear. That's all I have. I may be a pastor, but that's all I have. You know, I dress casually. You know, I'm a poor man. You know, and I believe a pastor should be about the poorest guy on the block because you give out all your money and finish it in ministry.
Right.
But. Yeah, so anyway, we really do need your help with everything, you know, and my wife here is the one that has to struggle and pay the folks, and so, you know, pray about supporting us, you know. You can
just be led by the Father. Just pray about it, listen to him, and be led by him. If he says, give, give.
Well, and that's true, and I say that every program, and I do have a lot of people, though, that you know, have told me over the years, well, what does that mean? You know, they don't understand, and what do you need? And so you have to tell them.
We need all serving products, salt, pepper, tea, coffee, sugar, cream, and vegetables and meat and pastas. And that's a blessing right there.
Let's go like this. Consider you're making it here. How would you like to make a Thanksgiving dinner all the time? Consider how many people. Maybe people make Thanksgiving dinner for 10 or 12 or so. You know, we have to plan for, at the minimum, you know, we usually plan for about 60 plates plus, you know. And so, you know, sometimes we have fed at the most over 120 people at a time, almost as much as we feed on Thanksgiving, but we have to be prepared to do that. So, folks, really, all donation, no matter what size, help. And the Father notices all donations that come from where?
Your heart.
If you don't wish to help us before, consider a donation for radio airtime. It's not free. You're listening to radio. Donations keep us on the air. Now, you could donate online. Or over the telephone, you can call me. I can take your donation over the phone. Or you can mail a check or money order. And you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. Now, if you send a check or money order or you make a donation and you don't say, you can specifically say what it goes to, radio. And if it's for radio, I definitely want you to say this is for radio. But if it's for, like, say, hey, I want to buy a bunch of meat, well, you can do that. Or it just goes into what the greatest need is if you don't say anything. And so pray about it. Pray about it. We really do need your help, especially right now. Summertime, people go off on vacations and everything, and I am not the only ministry that says this, that their donations and sales go down in the summertime, but we sell nothing. All we depend on you talking to the Father and getting us a donation. So please pray about it. We really do need your help. After all, June 1st is when? A couple of days?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow. June 1st, tomorrow, starts our 19th year of the Wichita Mission Church. Now, listen, and, you know, we are the poor feeding the poor, you know, whatever various reasons, but here's the point. If we've been around that long and we're dirt poor, we've helped thousands, or the Father through us has helped thousands upon thousands of people, fed them, clothed them, gave them shoes, gave them first aid, miracle prayers, Bibles, large print King James Bibles. We always need them, but say goodbye, Mom, because I'm going to have to get out.
Whereas we haven't kept track, I imagine it's probably in the millions, not that. And so y'all have a good week, and I won't see you next week, but the week after I'll be back.
Oh, boy.
Mom.
Thanks for the warning. We must remember, folks, that there is only one God. Who is he? He's your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for our repentant sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always be a what to others?
Blessing.
A blessing. How can you not be a blessing to others if you have the Holy Spirit in you? I don't get it.
Love your neighbors as yourself and as the Lord.
Yeah, and you better love yourself, because it's got to start with liking yourself first. And the way to like yourself is shed yourself a sin and get repentance.
Amen.
Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, Father, that you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and
shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.